Welcome to the Iron Basketball Podcast, the Pick and Troll Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Harper. Some people send out an SOS signal. I send out the ESS signal. Ethan Sherwood Strauss. How's it going? How's that for an intro?
I thought it was going to be an SO Strauss. I didn't know you were going in that direction.
That would have been better. Yeah, that would have been better. Damn it. We'll run it back. I'll change it in post.
Do it.
I won't actually change it in post. That sounds like extra work.
Don't do it. Yeah, there's some not-so-interesting games last night. That was a big, fat disappointment of the TNT evening.
It's an immediate awkward segue.
Oh, God. I didn't know it was awkward.
Yeah, it was awkward. We were having a little joke about my intro, and then you're just like, how about some games?
I got nervous. That's what happened. I felt like I needed to make a play. I locked up. I got fearful, and I just went to the first thought of my mind. I didn't know how to just use... I forgot about our rapport, and I'm sorry. I'll try to gain my confidence back slowly over the course of the show.
If you forget about your rapport, does that mean you actually just don't have one with somebody? I felt like we had one, but now I'm not so sure.
I've lost it.
Wow.
I got nothing.
Yeah, let's just go right to the game so you have something to talk about. Wow. I can't believe this. This is highly disappointing.
I know.
This is much like the Chicago Bulls.
Oh, wow. See, there's how you do it. That's how you do it, kids.
Yeah, that's
not how I did it. That's how you do it.
It's a professional thing. I wouldn't worry about it.
You know, I wasn't that disappointed. I feel as though when I was watching, I don't know how to judge anything that happens in Denver. I just don't know. You know, it's like
Narnia. You just don't know what to expect.
It is exactly like Narnia, or like when you're on someone's on the moon. Is that your vertical leap when you leap like that? I can't trust what happens there with their team at home. They have more red blood cells than the other team, and frankly, I felt like they were flaunting it a little bit. You know, if you could get a technical for taunting, I felt as though the Nuggets could get a technical for just flaunting the greater amount of red blood cells they had than the other team when they were running the Bulls off the floor in that second half. It was unseemly.
It was unseemly. Nate Robinson. Nate Robinson has to be the guy that proves the hot hand theory, right? Because there's never an actual reason for why he starts hitting shots.
Anthropologists, they look for the missing link. Zach Harper, he always is on the lookout for the guy who proves the hot hand theory.
I am.
He is against those who don't believe in the hot hand. They're looking for it.
It's like the, I don't know, it's like the... It's like the little old lady in Chile who saw the Virgin Mary in her toast. I've felt the hot hand before, so I believe in it.
I think that's a great analog. I picture you more as the sleazy, mustachioed guy in Jurassic Park who holds the amber up to the light and has that glint in his eye as he sees the mosquito and all the principles and possibilities it contains. I see you more as that guy.
Yeah, that's fair. I'll go with that. Sure. I have a mustache. The lady in Chile might have a mustache. Some older women grow mustaches.
It does happen. You just stop caring as you get older.
Yeah.
And I don't know what we're doing as a society, by the way, where we're just anti-hair. Everybody's taking off their hair, men and women. We just decided, for whatever the reason, that hair was the enemy, and we're on a slow march against it.
Honestly, there are three reasons I have hair.
Yes.
Four reasons I have hair. One, it grows. Two... Yeah. I have a fantastic head of hair.
Oh, you're big on that.
Yeah. No, it's just, I mean, it's some, you know, some people have it and you flaunt it. Sure. You know, the Denver Nuggets were flaunting their red blood cells. Well, I'm flaunting my hair. It's one of my good attributes. Three, I'm way too lazy to shave at this point in my life. Like, that just cannot be an every other day kind of thing for me. And four, I just, amazingly, like, you wouldn't know it from looking at the picture, but I look a lot better with a beard. So those are my four reasons for it. Otherwise, I'm anti-hair. I don't like hair. Hair's disgusting.
Yeah, people are all... I feel as though the advertising industry, they needed people to buy things, so they just created hair that needed to be gotten rid of. And, you know, we started with the women who needed to shave the legs, then the armpits, as what didn't happen over there in old Europe. And then we've moved on to men, and it's wax your chest, wax your back, get that shoulder hair off.
I will say this
completely.
The armpit hair, like, you should never have enough armpit hair to where it's peeking out of your armpit.
When
your arms are down. Like that, like if you're a guy who has that, just trim it up.
Yeah.
That needs to go. I'm not asking to shave it, but trim it up.
Here's my thing. here's what I don't like in this whole war on hair that we have going on.
Yeah.
I don't like when I'm watching these basketball games and they show a shaving commercial. This idea that your face is so well shaven with this razor that you're going to get the lady and what comes with the lady, that's going to be what swings it, that you're going to walk into the bar and your face is so smooth, so much smoother than if you use the other razor, that's going to work. That is ridiculous. I know advertisements are supposed to trick us and they're supposed to convince us of ridiculous things, but that's too far. Your facial smoothness will do nothing for you if you're hideous.
Also,
it's not happening.
You'd never get a guy who cuts himself or who has razor burn. It's always these perfectly shaved faces. I don't believe they're actually doing it with that. I think they're going to the old-timey barbershop and get one of those old-timey, you know, straight razor shaves.
Yes, and what's great about it, too, is the second that you shave with one of those old-timey razors and the second you get those faces smooth in those commercials, instantly covered with the hand of a woman. A hand of a woman is just instantly on the face. It's like that's your replacement beard. You shave your beard, and now you have a hand that is your beard. But
yeah.
I think we were talking about basketball.
Yeah, Nate Robinson in the second half.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, he did miss some shots badly, Zach, but he does get it cooking.
He does get cooking, yeah.
It's fun with the right lineup. It's something where it almost works better. It almost works better how he was with the Bulls and how he was with the Warriors, where you put him among offensively deficient guys who can defend and go, hey, just get us some over 40% efficiency.
Yeah.
Just be the offense, because even though he's not very efficient, there's value in it because he also doesn't need any help to do anything. So,
right.
You know, your defensive players can just conserve their energy on the offensive end and just concern themselves with defending like hell, and you win on the margins. You win by a little bit with them defending and him producing just enough offense. I'm not sure how it works with Denver in general, but it was cool last night.
Yeah, it is a weird thing. You said he starts cooking, and I thought, yeah, it's like this quick cook, and then I thought a short order cook, and then I thought, oh, that's just going to be misconstrued as a height joke when I didn't even mean it as a height joke. But he is like a short order cook.
Embrace that pun. That's fantastic.
I didn't mean it that way, though. But it is like a, hey, I need an omelet and some nachos within 2 minutes.
Yes.
And then he cooks it up for you.
Oh, he does. He's the best short order cook at your greasiest diner. For some reason, it's just flashing in my mind the guy who in Heat left being a short order cook to rob a bank. I don't know why I just thought
about
that.
That's a great move, though.
I mean,
I feel like if you can, because all you need is one bank.
It didn't work out for that guy, but I believe he made the statistically correct decision.
The
process over results. That's what I always say.
Right. He doubled down on an 11 with a 6 showing.
Yeah. It didn't work out, but I would support that move.
Yeah.
Does Derrick Rose support the rusty hands theory or the cold hands theory?
Is it a cold knee theory?
It might be a cold knee. That to me, if I'm really thinking about it, maybe more positive signs than negative signs, where he starts off well and then in the Denver atmosphere, lack of red blood cells, that's why it all goes kaput.
You're into this red blood cells thing right now.
It matters. It really is a real thing. I remember Andre Iguodala has discussed that it happens around the third quarter. I haven't looked at the numbers on that, but that's when they start running the other team off the court. And Rose started off looking like the Rose of old, and then in the second half, it really became undone. And when he's missing, he's really missing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's bad.
Is there another player right now where when they miss, it's that off?
Well, Ricky Rubio.
Oh, yeah, it's true.
Well, one funny thing I think is that he'll every like one or two games, he gets a wide open three where he gets to set his feet and he's just spotting up. And all like it seems like everyone who covers the Bulls and Bulls fans just go, hey, when he has time to set his feet, you know, he's a great outside shooter. It's like, right, but he never has time to set his feet, and he rarely takes those shots.
Yeah.
So we gotta stop. Like almost any NBA player, you give them time to set their feet, they're gonna be pretty good.
I have an article about this coming out today where Andre Iguodala has been shooting the three really well, in part because Steph Curry is commanding double teams 30 feet from the basket, and that doesn't mean necessarily that he's a good shooter. Even if he sustains this,
right.
It's just a situation where he has all day to set his feet, and with Iguodala, that's a player where his shooting motion takes a very long time, and for whatever the reason, he dips the ball below his knees before coming back up with it, which might have something to do with the shaky shooting over the years. You know, in practice, you'd say he's a good shooter.
Sure, you know me. I'm never one to tout my own work, but that does sound like a very nice complimentary piece to the Andre Iguodala post I wrote last week.
You're big on that Iguodala post. I like that post.
I wrote it and he hit a game winner.
An odd amount of pride.
I wrote it and then he hit a game winner. I mean, I don't know if I gave him the assist, if someone else gave him the assist, but it felt like one of us did.
It's funny. You sometimes really feel like you deserve more credit when it lines up. For instance, last night I tweeted after Thabo Sefolosha got flagrantly fouled that, why are you even doing that? Just the move, don't even bother fouling him, is to, at the last moment, pull your hands back and just rebound the shanked layup. It's Thabo Sefolosha.
Yeah, he's not good at the rim.
Yeah, and then a fan, an OKC fan, started yelling at me for being a hater, and Thabo Sefolosha, he went ahead and he just, you know, started botching transition opportunities. He just started, and it was like, yes! But no, this guy kept just yelling at me, and I just felt like it was a grand injustice. How dare you? Something in a small sample size vacuum just validated my point.
Right.
You should bow down and accept it.
Exactly.
Accept it.
What interests me about this Bulls team right now is that we're back to the whole Derrick Rose doesn't get the respect of the referees. And I feel like now that he's back from his knee injury, he kind of has to relearn how to take contact.
Yeah,
because I feel like he's
up a foot short.
Yeah, and he's really avoiding contact again, which was the problem before his MVP season. It wasn't a problem. He was still really good, but it was a problem in the fact that he wasn't putting enough pressure on the defense by drawing fouls and making them kind of hesitant to step up or whatever. And he kind of, I don't know if you have to relearn that. I don't know if it's a trust with the body. I don't know if his legs just aren't under him yet. Like, I don't know what it is, but it's not a – I don't think it's a – lack of respect from the officials. I really think he's just avoiding contact.
Yeah, it's all coming full circle. It reminds me of a, wait for it, trope.
Oh.
Trope from early in the careers of Russell Westbrook and Derrick Rose, where Westbrook was the guy who took contact and was getting a bunch of free throws and thus had the less aesthetically pleasing game, whereas Rose did not take contact. It's his natural inclination to try to make the layup and pirouette out of the thrashing limbs of the defenders. And now we're back to that, but he's not even really weaving through it. He's just about a foot or two short from where he needs to be.
Yeah.
And those are inefficient shots. Those are sometimes the least efficient shots when it's not a layup and it's a few feet outside of a layup. Floater land isn't very efficient.
No, floater land is, I mean, even for someone like Tony Parker, who's so good at the floater, you'd rather get him get into the basket.
Oh, yeah. And, well, with Rose, my thing with it is that I'm not sure it's rust, because we keep talking about it like it's rust, and he looked great in the preseason. So how is it rust?
He looked great in the preseason when we see just these not very good players in these really basic sets and schemes. So I think when a team can set up their defense properly without giving anything away in a meaningless game, you know, I think maybe it's mental rust. I don't think it's physical rust. I think physically he's pretty much fine, although maybe he gets tired earlier in games. I don't know that we have a way to know that.
Mm-hmm.
But I really do think it's mental rust in the fact of recognizing where he is on the floor and where he needs to be. Like getting that extra foot closer, getting into the defender to create contact. I think there's just this weird, I don't know, malaise about him that he can't quite get over that hump.
I think that's highly plausible. I just wonder if it's more that he got hurt again. He had that weird neck thing and that.
I forgot about that.
I liked how that looked, that neck thing that he was wearing. That
the tape?
Cool.
The kinesiology tape?
Yeah, the tape. It was probably useless. It was just ornamental as hell, but I really liked how it looked. I think that's the secret to I can't pronounce that right now.
Kinesiology?
Kinesiology tapes is that they just look cool. That's
a lot of physical trainers swear by it. They
really
swear by that tape, yeah.
I looked into it. I tried to get some sort of scientific validation for their effectiveness, and I just can't find it. But
yeah, I mean, I don't know enough about it, but I do know, I have a couple of friends who are physical trainers, and I know that they're very into it. Like, not as a cure all, but just as an aid for it.
You know, those tapes are slathered in these red blood cells. You wear them and they just pump red blood cells.
That seems totally health conscious and not illegal at all to just slather a product in blood and give it to somebody.
It counteracts mental rust, is what it does.
Okay,
it
just makes it go away. It's like putting a stake on your eye if you're getting a black eye. Right?
indeed. I don't know. People were judging the Bulls, and people were, and I've been down on the Bulls since the start of the season, and so I'm zagging when other people zig. But these TNT games, it's one game, and then everybody has to judge the one game in front of them, and the Bulls play such an exhaustive style that can lead to getting exhausted. So it wasn't surprising that they struggled in the second half of that game. That's just a tough one for them. I don't see that game read anything into it in respect to their deficiencies.
Yeah, I didn't think it was. I mean, I don't know. I have a hard time taking any of these Denver games seriously right now because I just don't think that team's very good, even though they're starting to play much better.
Hey, Nate Robb was saying that he was really banging the drum about how they're getting better and they're going to take people by surprise. And I was thinking, how? How do you see this ending?
I mean, I guess at home, that is certainly, like, I don't see them being much of a factor on the road. Like, you just can't play J.J. Hickson that much and end up being a winning team.
Yeah, that's an issue. He's one of their best players, it would seem. I haven't looked at the numbers, but I mean, just doing process of elimination apart from Ty Lawson and maybe one or two other guys. Lawson finally came down to earth. I was wondering if that was going to keep going.
Yeah, he. Well, I mean, that's a very good defense.
Yeah, you know, they erased him from the game for most of the game.
Yeah,
Rose did a really good job defending him, actually.
Yeah, Rose. I think Rose is solid defensively. He's not the saloon door he used to be.
Yeah, he's certainly better, and it's funny when people are talking about physically how he's rusty and he needs to improve. He didn't look rusty at all in the defensive end, so maybe it's easier to get that than to get the offense for whatever the reason.
Yeah, maybe that's more because defense, I guess, is more reactive.
Yeah,
by nature. So if what I'm saying is correct, if his problem is more mental rust than physical rust, then a reactive thing would be better for him, right?
Right. You know what was also interesting last night, and this wasn't quite happening in the first game. I don't know why I was thinking about this game and it prompted the following thought, but oh yeah, it was. It totally was. That was dumb of me. But Reggie Miller, competent announcing. Unlike what I just did right there, Reggie Miller was a competent announcer last night, and it was frankly worrisome to me. It was unnerving. I don't know what's going to happen.
I gotta be honest. I had the game very low, the volume.
Yeah.
So I just didn't really pay attention to what was being said. So there were a couple of times where I had to rewind it and turn up the volume to know what had happened. Like the Taj Gibson ejection. Like I wasn't really sure what had happened there. But for the most part, he might have been very good last night. I don't know.
It was odd. He was saying things like he's a left-handed player, but he likes to go right. And it was huh? Analysis? What?
Well, I guess that's the frustrating thing, right? Is we know these guys know basketball, but it's I don't know. Well, it's also we think we know basketball. So then, what if it is just as simple as like they portray it on Inside the NBA? What if we've completely overthought it and it's just not that complicated? What if it's just a matter of talent and using your talent properly? And it's not, and all this other stuff is just wrong.
I think that's possible, but I also think this is more a matter of them thinking we're stupid and
we are
trying to be
stupid
to accommodate us.
Yeah, that's probably it is probably maybe an effort to talk down because it is a hard game to play. I don't know.
Yeah,
the more I think about it, just the more I don't know. Maybe basketball isn't that complicated.
Well, yeah, and then they just have certain themes they like. We've talked on this podcast almost weekly about how it's either the criticize Blake Griffin or criticize Dwight show on Thursdays, And so for whatever the reason, that's when they get granular, that's when they get specific, is when talking about the post game. They've identified the post games of Dwight Howard and Blake Griffin, and this is the one topic, the lone topic, to teach a course of post grad complexity on. For whatever the reason, that's the one.
Blake was good last night.
Oh, it was awesome. They lost, and they were never in control of that game.
No,
they were
never
behind. But I saw some positive signs. I mean, namely that one. That one made me feel good if I'm a Clippers fan about the future.
Well, Chris Paul's kind of he was in a little bit of a funk. He's kind of snapped out of his funk. He did it in the fourth quarter against the Wolves the previous night, and then he looked very Chris Paulian.
It looked as though he had realized right there before the game how bad all his commercials are. It hit him. It just hit him instantly. It was just this awful epiphany. It just the feeling of chomping down into tin foil rifled through his body, an awful sensation, and made him play worse.
I feel like I got to get in more commercials.
Yeah, definitely, man. Get on that.
Something, because it's easy money.
Yeah.
You don't do
Beckley,
anything.
Beckley was in that commercial 2 years ago.
Yeah.
You got to do it.
Yeah, I got to do that. I'm going to work on that. I got to get an agent, and then I got to have my agent call somebody.
Build your brand. You know, it's great. You shave, you get a woman's hand on your face.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Oh, I don't want to shave, but
you got to do it if you want the commercial, man.
What if I trim?
This is the commercial you're selling out. You can't be having these demands.
No, cuz there are plenty of women who like a scruffy face, who like a little beard. And so what if I do one for like a Norelco trimmer?
And then
she can
little Andre 3000.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's a play. I don't have to shave. Plus shaving, like, I don't know. It's
one of my favorite moments, and I could do an hour on shaving and the commercials of shaving.
We might end up doing that.
Yeah, we might. One of my favorite moments in the history of sports commercialdom is when Tiger Woods gets into the sex scandal and he gets dropped. He gets dropped by Gillette as a sponsor, and I'm thinking, your whole thing is about how, as a man, you could just get all these ladies by shaving. This guy goes out and does it, and then you don't want him? This doesn't make sense. What's the point of this product? To shave well and be a family man? No. That's not what it is.
Yeah. I would like a commercial where a guy shaves, and then he, like, you know, fixes the toilet and takes the garbage
carves
out.
The turkey.
Yeah, carves
life.
The turkey. Yeah,
for
cleans the gutters.
Life.
That'd be great.
For his smiley and hideous looking wife. What an odd commercial that would be.
Hey makes guys, no sense. Instead of hey guys, this could be you, it's hey guys, this is probably you. You should look good.
Be presentable right. To your family.
What if that should be the campaign from now? Just not like, oh, this will change your life. Just hey guys, clean it up. Be presentable.
Come on, you have kids. They need to look up to somebody. Come on, man. But Blake Griffin, that was awesome. I don't know if those were the most efficient shots, but who cares? It looked so cool, and he was John at Charles Barkley, who, again, you should have had the volume up because he was announcing a fun game. And I loved it, man. If he can do more of that, if he's actually becoming something of a shooter and a pick and pop guy, that's really cool.
Yeah, his jumper has looked pretty good. I haven't checked the numbers this year, but he's taken it a lot more. He looks comfortable with it. I feel like there's a pretty good success rate right now.
Yeah.
Just based off the action I've watched, and he's just a really good player. I keep bringing this up on the podcast, regardless of who I'm talking to, but this anti-Blake Griffin thing's got to go away. I'm so sick of it.
I was thinking about it last night and thinking about your regularized caping up of Blake Griffin, and you're in the right on this one. He's really good, and why him? That's what I was thinking. I was thinking, why him? Why is he the guy?
I mean, I think that the thing is that he blew everyone away as a rookie,
yeah.
Right? And so immediately, if a guy is that good, and we might have kind of the same thing with Kyrie Irving.
Yeah.
A guy is that good right away, and then you start thinking, what could he be in an all-time sense?
Well,
that's a really hard place to get to.
Yeah.
And even if those guys never improve from their rookie year and they just do that for 10, 15 years, that's an amazing player. The thing is, we don't see progress. So then we think that because there is no progress, that there's a regression.
Yeah, that's what's happening with both those players. I do agree with you that it's a matter of they were great out the gate, and the expectations go up. But what also happened with those guys is they're being great out the gate led to all these commercials, not commercials where their faces were being rubbed, but commercials where they were doing things that inspired a lot of jealousy nonetheless. And so you do start a bit of resentment when you're in a ton of ads and you're the new guy, and then fans start going, well, what has he won? What has he done?
Right.
And that starts the backlash.
Right. And I mean, I just don't understand the Uncle Drew stuff. Because they're all in on it.
Yeah.
So, what's the point of dressing up? I just, like, you could just show me him deciding to go to a random park in America and destroy people, like, regular people with his incredible skills. And I would say, I would never think, like, I wish he was dressed like an old man.
Well, it was cool the first time where it looked like it could plausibly be a trick, but now it's just going in the opposite of cool direction because I don't want to see Nate Robinson out there dressed as an old man.
Right.
I don't care.
Yeah, I guess the Maya Moore thing was cool, but I'd rather just watch, like, I'd rather Maya Moore go to a basketball court and just, like, and just destroy regular men.
Yeah.
Just so we could stop with the whole, oh, my high school team could beat that WNBA team. Like,
oh,
no,
so
she's
untrue.
Unbelievably skilled. She would destroy anybody.
Yeah.
Anybody we know, she would destroy on a basketball court. And so it's just like, I don't need her dressed like, you know, someone from Family Matters. Like, I don't, like, she doesn't have to dress like the old lady from Family Matters. All she has to do is just go out there and destroy people. I would watch that, and then, I mean, I still wouldn't drink a Pepsi Max, but I would think about drinking one because that would be a cool campaign for me.
Yeah, I agree with you, but I believe that the reason this is continuing is because they like doing the old person imitation.
Yeah, I
guess
that's
a lot
performance
of fun for them.
Art, yeah.
Maya Moore seems to love doing the old lady imitation.
Yeah.
And so
he likes that, I mean, I guess he just wants a reason to say Youngblood.
Yeah. Yeah. He's all into it, and that's what's keeping this franchise going.
I guess maybe I'm part of the problem because of this whole, like, anti Blake Griffin thing, because I immediately became anti Uncle Drew, and now people are like, oh my god, awesome Uncle Drew commercial, and I just think, like, no, it's not. He's awful.
It's not.
Like, it's an awful, overrated campaign.
I don't want you just imitating a general old man. That's easy. Blow me away.
Yeah.
Do the Coming to America thing. I want you imitating an old Yiddish speaking man.
Oh,
that's what I want.
You want him to go whiteface?
Yeah, well, that sounds wrong, but yeah. Sounds wrong, but yes.
Actually, that would be all right. Now I would be into that. Yeah, if we had, like, a Coming to America type of thing.
What is it, Velvet? Yeah, that. I want that.
I would be into that.
But the thing with Blake, though, this whole obsession with his post game. I think, why him? Do people think he's tall? Why is he the guy?
Yeah, he's not a particular
monster post game.
Not
he's
a particular. He's not a particularly large power forward. Like, he's. He's strong, he has muscles, but he's much closer to, like, the size of Chuck Hayes than he is the size of Kevin McHale.
Yeah, so why is he the guy who needs this? It's perplexing because you would think that the post game is something that the really big player with a size advantage should have, and not necessarily, I mean, it could be useful to Griffin, don't get me wrong, and he has some advantages, like his strength and his speed, but it's so odd that he is the guy who needs this above all other guys.
Well, and he's like, I mean, it's a lot like Dwight Howard, where I would just rather have him on the move.
Yeah. Oh,
like,
yeah.
It's like, just put him in motion somehow and get him the ball. Like, that's when you want to see him. I don't, him dribbling with his back to the basket for 4 seconds and then making a move. Like, I don't, I mean, it's a good thing to have. He has a couple of good, like, he had a really good counter move against Serge Ibaka last night that Serge Ibaka recovered on and blocked the shot out of bounds, like, mm-hmm. But that was a great move,
and that was a reminder of one guy has much longer arms and is a lot taller than the other guy.
Right.
I want to see more of him doing the Lamar Odom thing and pushing in transition.
Oh, I almost said something awful.
Oh god. oh man. I'd like to see more of that from Blake. And it's funny, I do think of, why doesn't this guy or that guy get the treatment of he should be better. I was watching Marc Gasol in person most recently, and I love Marc Gasol's game, and I don't have any complaints about it. But I'm watching and I'm thinking, this guy's a 7-foot monster. He's incredibly skilled.
Yeah.
Why is he not the dude that people go, he needs to get better?
Yeah, like he needs to be a back-to-the-basket dominant center because he really has the size and the skills. 25 and 12.
That's what Marc Gasol needs to be doing.
He needs to average 28 and 15.
28 and 15. He needs to. Otherwise,
he's nothing.
Otherwise, none of us have the ladies' rubber base. It just all goes bad. But why isn't that a thing? Why isn't it the thing that Marc Gasol needs to be better? I don't want it to be a thing. I think we should accept what these players are more often. But you would think that someone like him would get that treatment.
Well, it's funny. I felt like we were going that way with Roy Hibbert last year because he was struggling, and then he had that series against the Heat.
Silenced everyone.
And now everyone's fine. And he's excellent. His defense has been phenomenal this year. He rebounds well. I feel like his scoring's been better.
Yeah.
Than it was to start out last season, for sure. And so now people are kind of laid off because the Pacers are like this new cool novelty item, and Paul George is this, you know, new superstar, and so people aren't turning on them yet. But if he has a bad playoffs, I think we'll start getting into the he needs to dominate in the post, he needs to average 20-10, blah blah blah.
Yeah, I think it will swing back around. Maybe it won't, just because there's something about him that Chuck and Shaq seem to like, and so that won't happen.
Well, yeah. Well, I was gonna say it's because he stands in there and he's willing to just deny people at the rim, but Dwight does that, so...
Yeah, it doesn't totally make sense, but Hibbert does have me even more positive and even happier about Embiid. That's my favorite prospect right now, that guy. I love Embiid.
Oh, I'm big on Embiid.
Oh, I'm so... You see that Euro step that he pulled? Oh, my God. Yeah, I didn't know he could do that.
That's not going to be a thing, but...
It's not going to be a thing, but just that he can do it is a great sign.
Yeah, no, I love his skills. He's really raw, but he has an amazing feel for the game. He's a solid passer for someone who isn't that skilled, I guess.
I'd take him over Randall. Of course, I don't have any information at all.
On Randall? Because,
well, on just this whole thing. I haven't seen all their games leading up to this. I have only seen a few games because the season is young and I'm not a professional scout. So my opinion is pretty worthless, as usual, but even more so in this instance. But I would take Embiid over a player like Randall just based on what I know now.
Yeah, I don't know if I would go that far, but I like Jabari Parker above everybody right now.
I would probably, just wisdom of crowds, athleticism, I would probably go Wiggins, but I would not be comfortable with it.
I'm not someone that thinks Wiggins is overrated or overhyped or anything. Like, I think he's going to be awesome.
Parker's just so good.
Yeah, I like Parker's game better. It's aesthetically much more pleasing to me.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with. We might have one of these interesting the stats one guy is putting up in college versus the guy with the potential and the upside conversations, and those are kind of fun. I sort of like those. I want that. Derrick Rose versus Michael Beasley situation, but hopefully without Michael Beasley's problems attached to it.
Right.
So that we have that to look forward to. So I'm wondering with this Chris Paul in the Clippers game, I'm wondering, and this is a sloppy segue, you're the master of segues. You tossle and groom your segues the way you do with your hair. You've got a similar facility with both. I, on the other hand, I have no product, and thus the connection is I have no ability to segue. But Chris Paul, a lot of discussion. Tom Haberstroh wrote a piece on how he's the greatest point guard of all time. People got very livid. They got angry, and I just wanted your thoughts on it. Zach, as a basketball historian, I'm giving you
as
that type.
As a basketball historian, wow.
Curtis Harper Harris.
Chris Paul is probably my favorite player that isn't Kevin Garnett of the last 20 years.
Wow.
I love his game. I love the tricks he does with the ball. And I'm not even, it's not even like him, like crossovers. Like, he just does these weird, like, flicks of the finger with the ball. I think to maybe just keep it in the defender's mind, like, I could do anything I want with this. And, like, he does it at the most random times that seem unnecessary. It doesn't often lead to anything, but it's just, I think it's, like, it's him just keeping himself amused.
Yeah.
And so, like, he's just fascinating to me. I love
his
competitive.
He's got a mastery. It's as though he sees the game in slow motion.
Yeah.
And he does things just with his head. Tony Allen kicked him in the face because he just head faked as though he was going to drive.
Yeah.
Or as though he was going to pass when he drove. And he'll regularly – it's so cool when players have that kind of command. That shot in the last Dallas game of Dirk Nowitzki smiling for the camera before he did the fadeaway. That is so cool. That's such a different plane of existence in a game where most of these guys are terrified and they're fighting for dollars and they're fighting for minutes.
Right.
And Paul has that mastery of the game, perhaps more so than any other guy. And you do have to admit, when you look at the advanced stats, he is the greatest advanced stats point guard ever. At least as far as peak performance goes. That doesn't mean that he's the best ever, but we at least have to acknowledge that that's a thing, and that is pretty surprising, and it's kind of amazing that he's done that.
Yeah, I mean, for a couple years now, I've said, like, as long as he stays healthy, I think he'll end up being a top five point guard of all time.
Oh, yeah.
Which...
He's my second. I would pick him second. That might be bold, but if you retire today,
yeah, I definitely would not.
Well, who's your second? Rank everything. Everything must be ranked.
Well, I don't really consider Oscar Robertson to be a point guard. He's just a guard to me. And I don't know. And if you have a strong opinion on it, just shove it up your ass. I don't care. But it's like, it just does not matter to my life. But
it's the more comfortable things you can shove up there.
It is. It really is. If anything, though, it's like a warm enema. That's what I'm asking you to do. I would put John Stockton second. I think John Stockton is criminally
about.
Underrated all that's, time and
yeah. That's the guy where I really struggle between Stockton and Paul. With Robertson, it's complicated by I'm not sure if he's a point guard per se, and it's a different era of basketball. Yes, he averaged a triple double, but the pace was crazy. And it's funny, a lot of the people who were saying, oh, what has Paul ever won? He hasn't won a championship. Well, Oscar Robertson, he didn't win a championship till he was 32 and he wasn't the best player in his team. So
right.
I don't know if you could use that to disqualify Paul.
Well, that's just such a dumb argument. Like, how have we not learned at this point through what LeBron went through, what Kobe went through after Shaq, what all these guys, what, you know, Carmelo goes through, like, what all these guys, what Kevin Garnett went through, like, you cannot win a championship on your own. You have to have a crap load of talent around you.
This is what we do, though. This is what we do. We say, blank guy can't win it. He's got some sort of deficiency, some sort of character flaw, something about him that renders him incapable of winning at all. Then he wins it all, and then we just find a new guy and say, hey, that guy, he can't win it all.
Right. Like, Dirk Nowitzki was a soft, overrated, non-clutch player until 2011, and now he's, you know, one of the greatest players we've ever seen. Like, it's this weird switch that it's proven by next to nothing. I mean, Dirk was awesome, but his team played awesome, right?
There could be something to the idea that Chris Paul's control freak style isn't the best in the playoffs. His need to control everything. I don't agree with it. There could be something to the theory, but I don't like that reductive style of argument.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm not explaining why he can't win at all.
I'm not putting him on this level, but wouldn't you have said the same thing about Kobe Bryant and Michael Jordan and guys like that? Like, those are control freaks. Like, obviously, he's not as good as those guys, but those are control freaks.
I would say, obviously, I think Chris Paul
and Kobe are
comparable.
No, they're really not. I mean, now, yes, absolutely, but not in Kobe's peak. Not even close.
I would say yes. I mean, are they not similar in how they can take in their prime a cast of cast-offs and get them around that 45 win mark and maybe even beyond it? I think that Kobe has longevity. He's probably his career will have aged a lot better than Chris Paul's will. Chris Paul's prime will only last so long because he's short.
No, but I would say that Kobe's peak, his defense and scoring were just – or his defense and offense – I'll even say offensive game – were just better.
I don't know. I think I disagree with you on this one, Zach.
This could be a veiled attempt to get you to recognize the importance of point guard defense.
it's a trap. Because Chris Paul is a good point guard defender.
He's a great point guard defender.
It's just hard for me to accept that, where I believe Chris Paul deserved the MVP in the year that Kobe won it. So
what does that have to do with what we're talking about, though?
I'm just saying.
Okay. I don't know how we got there.
It was a slight detour. There was some orange signs, and we got off the freeway, and we started zigging and zagging.
No, Magic Johnson's obviously the best point guard of all time.
Yes. Yes,
he's obviously the best point. Like, I don't even think it's a discussion.
I know that advanced stats wise, that Paul is slightly better in some of the peak seasons, but Magic Johnson's mastery of the game was so incredible.
It holds up better.
He holds up better than any player from that era. When you watch an old game, you still are blown away.
Yeah.
With what
Oh, for sure. I mean, just the stuff. I do wish we had time machines.
Yeah.
One, I'd invest in all of the technology. I do a total time cop. Yeah.
You got to use that money that you're getting from your ads. You know.
Right. Exactly.
Get that time machine.
And then two, like, I'd love to be able to see three seasons of Larry Bird at his peak playing now, or Magic Johnson at his peak playing now. I don't know how you explain that to them. When you go back in time.
And you say,
Larry, I need you to come to 2013 with me. You're going to be here for 3 years, and then I'll bring you back. Well, I don't even think you need to bring him back. Now I don't understand the space-time continuum.
Larry Bird's going to go, hey, my back problems with this better technology are no more. Wait a second, I can have this whole ladder prime. I'm not going back. This is great.
Yeah, maybe he'd refuse.
Yeah, I love 2013. This is awesome. And wait, not only that, but I get to run the Indiana Pacers while I'm playing for the Celtics. Oh, this is awesome.
That seems like a conflict of interest.
It might be, or it might be hedging your bets.
What if he's not even allowed to be on the Celtics? What if he's a Bobcat?
Oh, that's so sad. But it would create a lot of articles for us to write.
But if you can explain to him, I feel like Larry'd be on board. I feel like Magic wouldn't. Want to?
Magic was having too much fun back then.
Although you get Magic pre-illness,
yes,
and you say, "Hey, we're much more conscious about this."
The good you could do with this.
Yeah.
I mean, there is you do run the slight risk of a butterfly effect where it was still the Cold War back then. I mean,
true.
We could die in a nuclear explosion.
Magic Johnson prevented a nuclear explosion via the Cold War?
His actions might have. He was a very famous man, Zach. I don't know if you knew that.
No, I'm fully aware of how famous he was. I don't know that he was
I don't know that he was in the Michael Jackson video, Do You Remember? You know, the pop star.
I actually just watched that 2 weeks ago.
What?
I don't know that he was like on. I don't think he was an influencer of Gorbachev.
He might have been. You can't rule it off. Oh man, I could talk Gorbachev all day. I love Gorbachev's PR. Oh man, I could talk all day. I love so many things that happened in that time. I love how Yeltsin humiliated Gorbachev. Yeltsin and Gorbachev, they had this. It's a basketball. They had a Zach Randolph, Blake Griffin kind of situation.
Ooh, yeah, that's a good comparison.
Look it up. When it comes to Russian politics,
I feel like if you're listening to this podcast, that's self-explanatory.
Yeah.
If you've compared it to the Zach Randolph Blake Griffin thing, I think they can do the word. I don't know that they have to look it up. You should look it up. It's a fascinating story.
Yes, you should look up both. There is a great moment in Russian politics where one doesn't let the other sit in his chair, and it's sort of the announcement that you're out. You have no power anymore in front of everybody. And there's a backstory to it. There's revenge. Yeah, look that up. That's something to look up. That's your homework assignment for
put
today.
Put down the R.L. Stein and go look up some Wikipedia.
R.L. Stein. That is incredible. We had a game. We had a game that we wanted to do, right?
God, your segues are just Amazing.
I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. I get anxious.
No, it's fine.
Yeah, I jump the gun. Yeah. I'm Derrick Rose. I'm pulling up for the shot a foot or two before when needed. But yeah, better than his PER or worse than his PER, this game.
Yeah, give it to me. Who you got?
Okay, I would go with Brandon Jennings. Let's see what his PER is. See, not only did I jump the gun, but I did it without...
You weren't prepared. Open.
I wasn't prepared. I jumped the gun, and I wasn't even holding a gun.
Right.
I just slapped it in the air, foolishly.
That's solid.
it was very stupid. But yeah, 18.61, Brandon Jennings.
I feel like he's dead on. I feel like he's been good this year.
I would go with a 17. I think he's a little bit over it just because
all he's he's definitely above average, which is 15, right?
Yeah.
I would say he's definitely been above average this year. Like, I'm happy with his game so far.
You know what boosts that PER a bit is that 20-foot off the backboard alley-oop through.
You get an extra couple of points.
You definitely get an extra couple of points. I think in the game you should get an extra couple of points. Why shouldn't that count as a three-pointer? Off the backboard alley.
Well, he was inside the 3-point line.
Well, I know, but I'm saying that this should be the new rule. If you throw an off the backboard alley oop, that alley oop counts as a 3-point play.
Oh, but what if this was a thing? If you threw an alley oop from beyond the 3-point line and it counted as 3 points, that would change the game.
That would be so cool. So many end of regulation buzzer beating plays. That would be incredible.
Oh, I was just talking to Doc Rivers in a pregame thing the other night.
Name drop.
And he's it was me and I don't know 20 other reporters. Well, I'm not a reporter, but he's on the competition committee. And so next time he's in town, I'm going to bring that up. I'm going to see what he says.
Bring it up to your old buddy Doc. You should definitely do that. Speaking of point guards, Isaiah Thomas, PER 24.96.
Yeah, he's definitely not that good.
You're so anti Isaiah Thomas. What's
Not anti Isaiah Thomas. He's not one of the ninth in the league in PER? Tenth, something like that. He's not one of this before.
I agree. He's lower. He's lower than the 24.96. But you've been
I haven't been anti Isaiah Thomas. I'm very pro Isaiah Thomas. I'm just very let's properly measure Isaiah Thomas.
He's a hard player to really assess because at that height you want him to have good passing vision and he doesn't.
No, so, I think at that height it makes it harder to have good passing vision.
Yeah, and he doesn't have that, and so he's not what we think of as a point guard. But damned if he isn't an efficient scorer, and I've written about how around the rim he's a savant. So
yeah, you're very into his layups.
I love it. I love his layups, and I want him playing more. He should play more. This is ridiculous. Why do they keep trying to replace him? Why do they keep trying to bring somebody else in?
I think the idea is to get somebody on the team to pass. So that's why they do it. Like he's very much
hard to do that.
Who would you take between him right now and 2011 playoff run JJ Barea? Because it's that's kind of the same player.
Yeah, they are very similar. I hadn't really thought of that. Man, I go Thomas, but I do.
Oh,
see
you're so anti Barea.
I hate that guy. I am. I hate how everything he does. It's just a big lie.
Yeah.
Oh, God, the post defense flop. I hate that so much.
Hey, Doug, keep your arms down.
Yes.
You push up around his neck. He's gonna fly back, and that's a foul.
We've discussed him before. We brought him up before. He might be evil. He might be evil as a person, but playing pretty well. Terrence Jones, 17.84.
Yeah, he's not that good.
I'm going with just lower. I'm just going with lower guys. I should probably go with guys who may be. This is a random one. Kirk Heinrich, 11.21.
That's probably about right.
Probably about right.
There's some Bulls. I mean, this was a topic on Twitter last night. There are some Bulls fans that would just like to see what Marcus Teague can do, and are kind of sick of watching Kirk Heinrich. I'm fine with that. Like Kirk's a solid role player. I would not mind him being on the Timberwolves. Like I don't mind him. At all, but I get why you would be tired of watching him play.
Yeah, he's awful.
I think we forget that this is a form of entertainment sometimes.
Oh yes, this is a big issue for me.
And this is why I'm so pro Gunner. I'm so pro Gunner because of this.
Yeah, people start taking this so seriously. They invest so much time in it. They forget that it's supposed to entertain and titillate them. That's why I'm against all these replay reviews, because that's not the point of the game. The point of the game isn't getting the call right, although you want to get the call right. Ideally, you do. The point of the game is to entertain the hell out of us. And when we stop the game...
Which is why I like Joey Crawford so much.
Yeah, he's an entertaining ref. He brings something to the table.
Yeah.
I just don't want Joey Crawford under the hood looking at that video review, not doing Joey Crawford things, instead staring at a screen. I want him throwing people out of games. That's what I want.
Here's the thing, though, about the review. I do love that awkward 4 seconds where they're looking at a TV that is just them looking at a TV. Like, they're like, because they go strictly off the broadcast camera. And so it's always like, as they're waiting for the play to be loaded up into the old replay machine, they're just looking at themselves, look at themselves.
I like that a lot. It's like an M.C. Escher sketch. It would be cool if we had a kind of Breaking Bad situation and there was a camera inside the replay review.
Ooh.
And we looked at their eyes as they looked at us.
Ooh.
Trying to figure it out.
Yeah, I like that.
Do you hear my aunt's mastiff in the background snoring, by the way?
I do not.
So everybody should listen to that. Near and dear to your heart. This is an interesting
rewind one. This and see if you can hear that.
Yeah. Try to pick that out, kids.
I feel like I know where you're going with this.
You know which player.
Go ahead.
I feel like you don't. I feel like it's going to be shocking. I this is one of the more interesting ones to me.
Okay.
Ricky Rubio.
Oh.
14.35.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we're judging efficiency, right, with this? We're not judging how good a player is.
Are you better than your PER?
Yeah, I feel like he's better than his PER. I feel like he's like a 16-17.
I agree. The defense and also that starting lineup is one of the best starting lineups in basketball.
Oh, they're so good. They really are so good together.
Yeah, so he must be doing something right.
Right.
And that to me is... That's a little unfair. But I think where we were going with that, or where we thought I was going with that, was one Anthony Davis leading the league, leading the entire NBA, 30.24 PER.
Yeah, no, I think it's when you don't have a defense focusing on you, and you can pick your spots. You can be really efficient.
Can we backtrack? Can we go back in time to when I was big on Anthony Davis coming out of high school, early in college, and you were poo pooing the brow.
Was I poo pooing him, or was I simply saying, "Let's calm down and wait and see what he is"? It's one of those.
I prefer the former interpretation.
Let me just inform you too about the old Ricky Rubio.
Yeah,
they are plus 8.6 per 100 possessions with him on the court.
Oh yeah,
that's a significant number.
Yeah, the Wolves and Warriors, they both have that starting lineup is a killer. Bench is a killer in the bad way,
right?
situation, and a lot of that is Rubio. And if his lack of shooting and his lack of whatever he
also
should have,
if you want to be ahead of the curve with your friends and the kids these days,
yeah,
get on the Robbie Hummel bandwagon.
You love that Hummel.
He does some of the most with some of the least, and he's a really smart glue guy. What other cliche terms can I throw his way?
Grit.
Grit. He hustles.
Hard-nosed.
Yeah.
Hard-nosed. High basketball IQ.
Very high basketball IQ.
High. It's up there. I mean, the things he can figure out.
They're plus...
Like Russell Crowe and a beautiful mind out there.
Yeah, exactly. They're plus 7.5 with him on the court.
Just scouting reports are lining his locker.
Yeah.
All these cut out of newspapers.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little bit disturbing, but at the same time, you can't deny the intelligence.
No, you can't. You really
can't.
These
are Ron Howard movie waiting to happen.
Back to this Anthony Davis thing. No, you've always mischaracterized my thoughts on him. I think he's very good. I think he's going to be very good, but there were initial...
Very good. You're the only person saying very good right now. Everybody else is saying superstar and saying already superstar. What is this very good?
No, because it's this relative thing where people... Like, he spent a month in college, and then people were saying, he looks like the next Kevin Garnett. And I'm like, are you high?
I was those people.
Right. He looks nothing like Kevin Garnett. He looks like what Marcus Camby was supposed to be. That's what he looks like to me. He and Kevin Garnett play nothing alike.
I don't know if there's a comp because unlike KG, he likes to slash from near the three-point line to draw fouls and attack the rim that way.
Right.
That wasn't really a Garnett move.
No, because he had the ball in his hands.
and Garnett was a passer. He was a facilitator in the way that Anthony Davis is not. They are different players. Right, Anthony Davis, I believe, can be a more devastating defensive force than even Kevin Garnett, who at times is the best defensive player in the league.
You might want to calm down there, my friend.
I'm serious, man. I mean,
Kevin Garnett's
right now.
That, I mean, block shots are fantastic, but Kevin Garnett was an era-changing defender.
He was. He definitely
in
was.
We're not talking KG now. We're talking KG on the Timberwolves. Like, he was guarding all five positions at the top of this really illegal zone that the Wolves played that got away with. Yeah. At the top, guarding the point guard. Probably one of the 10 greatest defenders of all time. Are you saying Anthony Davis is going to be one of the 10 greatest defenders of all time?
Yes. He's the best defensive prospect in 20 years. I firmly believe that.
Okay.
At least back in college, I believe that maybe in the early going, he hasn't transformed their defense.
He was not good defense. He was really bad defensively last year.
And he was a disappointment. I was disappointed.
I think he was legitimately bad, but this year he is legitimately good.
Yes.
I mean, I still don't think it's completely game changing in terms of his team. He still hasn't affected the team that way, but that could just take a period of cohesion. And then they get on that page. And I talked about this, I think, with Matt earlier in the week. You put him on the floor with Ryan Anderson.
Oh, yeah.
That's an obliterating combination.
You made the point last week, too. I totally agree with it. Everybody wants to will certain trades into just make them manifest if it's interesting. But without any consideration for what the team trading would want, why would they want a Sheik instead of Ryan
Anderson?
Makes no sense.
At all.
Then, well, oh, hey, we want to have Houston's problem.
Yeah.
We want you know, two defensive big guys.
We'd like to help out our division opponent.
Yeah, and Davis is hitting that shot, but that's not his forte.
Like Ryan Anderson's he might be one of the five best shooters in the league, right? Outside shooters.
Yeah.
I mean, he's really incredible. If it wasn't for Steph Curry's ridiculous year last year, I probably would have been fawning all over Ryan Anderson at the end of the season. I mean, he had an amazing shooting year.
Great, great shooting year. And I think he had a good analogy saying that he's the larger Redick and helps the team in all those ways. And so why would they do that?
Yeah.
But we both agree that 30.24 is probably
too high
for Davis.
But he's probably a 25, though, right? Which is still insane. It's still really good.
Can we be honest that your aversion to Anthony Davis, your anger towards him?
Anger? I don't feel any anger towards him.
Your racism against him. Yeah, that it's mostly about the KG comparison and how Kevin Love is the best power forward in the league, and you feel a little threatened. You see an Anthony Davis on the horizon. You don't like it.
No, I don't feel threatened at all. I know that he's not even close to what Kevin Garnett was. and I know that Kevin Love's a better player than him.
Well, yes, this is true. Kevin Love's a better player right now.
Right.
But I said to you that
you
Anthony
said 2
Davis
years.
Coming... I said, yeah, 2 years. You said 6. It'll take Anthony Davis 6 years to overtake Kevin Love.
Six? I don't think I said 6.
I have the G chat records to prove. Oh, damn it. No, I don't.
All no, because you're always off record.
Oh, damn it.
Like a weasel.
I knew this would come back to haunt me. Where was Edward Snowden?
No, I believe
help retrieving this.
I believe I said 4.
4.
I'm almost positive I said 4.
I'll go 2. People revisit this. What a ridiculous argument to have when you think about it. It can't be. Nobody can win this right now.
No, not at all, because there are literally no records, and we have to wait a very long time. And by then, neither of us will have remembered this conversation.
The thing I love about Davis and what gets me excited and why I say that he has that potential to be a better defender than Kevin Garnett is because he has the mobility to guard wing players on the perimeter.
Which,
I believe that.
Which Kevin Garnett did.
He did as far as hedging out there on pick and roll, but I mean guard.
There's no way you are going to convince me that you watched enough Timberwolves Kevin Garnett games to know this to be true. I'm telling you, he guarded everybody, and he like
growing
not
up in San Diego. It was nothing but Timberwolves games. Nothing but him.
I'm telling
all
you,
the time.
Mostly
in those years they weren't making the playoffs.
Right.
Yeah, but wait a second, weren't you growing up in Sacramento? Like, what special access did you have?
I had league pass.
Oh,
I've had league pass for like 12 years.
My parents didn't get that for me.
Well, I had a financial situation where I wasn't all that responsible, so I would just pay for whatever I thought was a cool idea and just worry about it later. Worry
what was
about the
League Pass like back then? Was it really – because right now it looks dingy and it looks it looks bad. It
yeah,
looks
I mean
sad.
this was pre – like I didn't have a –
It's the fluorescently lit Walgreens at 3 a.m.
Yeah.
of television services. So back then it must have been awful.
Yeah. I mean I didn't have a high-def TV back then. Like I don't I don't think I got one of those till, I don't know, 06, 07, something like that. But it was – you just flip channels. I don't know. You were just flipping channels. There was no online accompaniment. No, none of that. Like you had to record the right stuff. You had to be watching at the right time. And I don't know if this will shock you. I didn't do a whole lot back then. So I would just sit at home and watch TV, watch basketball games. I was obsessed.
I would have done that had I the access to it. Instead, I had to rely on living in a market where there were two basketball teams, and the I'd get excited for the National Knicks games. That would be my thing. But Davis in the perimeter defense, last game he played, he blocked Gordon Hayward's 3-point shot twice. That's what gets me excited.
That's fantastic. That's a really telling thing.
Oh, don't condescend to that. That's cool.
You've been condescending to me this whole time. And this idea that I would be against Anthony Davis, he and I share the same spirit of eyebrows, okay? Mine are much thicker, but I can grow a unibrow at the drop of a hat.
You resent him for being bold where you weren't.
Oh, please. Please, yes. You take away the money and the fame and the commercials. I'm Derek Rosen commercial him right now. That's what I'm hitting him with. You take away all that stuff. You know what you still have? The eyebrow, and no one wants that eyebrow if you don't have the money.
I did wonder about Davis, and I feel okay saying this now that he's not in college. I remember talking to Henry Abbott when Davis was in high school, and I said, "This is going to be interesting. We're about to have we ever had a hideously ugly superstar before?" And how do you sell things? Now, he looked worse back then as a high schooler as he does now. But I think that's interesting. Does being ugly really hurt your ability to sell shoes and ability to be a star?
I don't know. Larry Bird wasn't that good looking, was he?
That's true. But he had the white thing going back in the 80s were more racist.
That's true.
That's the thing.
Especially you're just selling to Boston anyway, so...
Oh yeah! Oh yeah!
Yeah, I guess I don't know. I can't think of. I never think about like how good looking a guy is, in terms of like would I buy his product.
You don't think about it, but it's certainly a factor.
I'm sure it is a factor
in these various arguments, and now this is getting into weird territory.
It's very weird.
I think that Allen Iverson, I don't think that Allen Iverson has that cult of personality if he's ugly. If he looks like Tyronn Lue, the guy he stepped over, I don't think people revere Allen Iverson as much.
Yeah, probably not.
So that matters, you know?
It's not, the idea, though, like people are so obsessed with like who's your all ugly NBA team. And I just...
Oh, yeah, they are.
I don't know. I don't really care, I guess.
I'm
good at like appreciating like the fact that Corey Maggette has amazing shoulders.
Oh,
like his shoulders are fantastic. I really like Derek Fisher's arms. He's got great arms. You know, I'm obsessed with like the size of a player's butt and how he uses that effectiveness, like Andre Miller. You know,
I like how Jeremy Lamb has a leg for a neck.
Sure. Well, does he have a leg for a neck, or does he just have an unusually small head and a normal sized neck?
Or it looks like a giraffe sized neck. But you do bring up a good point that that this could be just an optical illusion.
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine into the quirkiness of a way a player looks, but like how Sam Cassell looked doesn't like the whole alien thing, I'm just like, ugh, that's so boring.
I think that helped him, frankly.
Maybe.
It made him even more popular
than
he otherwise would have been. So, yeah, no, I agree. This is it's an ugly thing to make fun of people for being ugly. I just do wonder about the influence of looks on a player's fame and status. I think we can all admit that Kobe Bryant's a pretty good-looking guy, and that probably helps him.
Yeah, if Michael Jordan doesn't look the way he looks, he probably doesn't sell the way he sells.
Oh, yeah. You know, he couldn't sell the movie Space Jam to America's youth.
We'd all be wearing Drexler tracksuits right now.
We would definitely be wearing Drexler tracksuits. How did you pull that out of your brain?
just part of the psyche.
How many red blood cells do you have flowing
through? Oh, you have no idea. You have no idea. The size of this head that I have, all kinds of red blood cells.
How do you not have time to shave, but you have the energy?
Oh, I have time to shave. I just hate it. I don't have the wherewithal to want to do it all the time.
What was going on with the tracksuits and Drexler? Was that just an instance of how Portland, before it became a hipster mecca, was a few years or maybe a half decade behind the trends? Was that what it was?
Probably was. That's got to be it. We should ask Danny Nowell about it.
We should. He's become the expert. I'm afraid for Danny Nowell, man. I mean, the last time I saw him on one of these video casts that we do, he was wearing flannel with a full beard. He's looking like the stereotypes of things he's made fun of.
I can't wait till he talks to you on his hemp computer.
Oh, it's going that direction. It's going that direction. This is what happens to people. And he's losing. He's one of the most Southern guys I've ever met, and
he really is. Yeah, no, he's gonna be all University of Oregon soon, and forget all about North Carolina.
Well, next time we all see each other, we're gonna gang up on you because he's also on Team AD. He's also on Team Anthony.
Yeah,
Davis.
I mean, I'm also on Team Anthony Davis.
No, you're not.
Oh my God,
you had your chance.
All right,
bandwagon left without you.
It looks like one of those.
Those San Francisco cars where they have the fuzzy mustache, you know, on the front of it.
Yeah.
Was that Lyft or who knows? It's this cab service. Right now, that's what the bandwagon looks like. And it has the similar thing, but it's Anthony Davis's unibrow.
We got to stop putting eyelashes on cars, by the way. I want to hit every single car, and it's almost always one of those VW bugs. Are they called VW bugs still? I don't know. Maybe it's the Beetle. I don't know what it's called. But those, the newer ones, I see it on it every once in a while, and it just turns me into a murderous rampage.
I'm a little worried about how easily you go into that mode.
It is pretty cool. I mean, if I wasn't so lazy with my life, I'd be in jail right now. That's a fact.
I'm worried about that. Listen. I've detoured your podcast enough. I need to go and set up for another one that I'm going to ruin.
Yeah. Well, it's been a pleasure. I'm glad we're both on Team Anthony Davis. And
nope.
We can follow you at Sherwood Strauss on Twitter. Ethan, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me on.